Everyone has their own unique views and needs when it comes to financial success. If you'd like to leave your financial woes behind and live a life of financial freedom, you've come to the right place. Welcome to the Saving with Steve Show, hosted by Steve Sexton. The show will help you with the ins and outs of money. We talk about financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars and keeping you up at night. We talk about money, tax reduction, saving more, spending less, 401ks, risk management, retirement, and everything under the sun that relates to you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. Now, here is your host of Saving with Steve, Steve Sexton.
Hello, welcome to the Saving with Steve Show, where we talk about the ins and outs of money, pretty much everything in the sun that relates to you having a happier, healthy relationship with money. My name is Steve Sexton. I want to thank you for joining us again. Hey, thanks. You know, we appreciate you sharing with your friends and family. We got well over a million listeners now. But you know what? Today's a big topic. Okay. As people age, there's also greater risk of injury, disability that may necessitate care. Disabilities affect 2 of 5 adults over the age of 65, according to the Center of Disease Control and Prevention. Now, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services estimate over half, 56% of Americans turn 65 will develop a disability serious enough to require long-term services, support. The home health service, Health and Human Services estimates that between 2020 and 2065, the number of individuals with significant disabilities, okay, is expected to grow from 7.6 million to 14.7 million, okay? That's the share of the age population that increased from 14 to 16%, which is very, very significant. A couple of insights, okay? Seniors who require long-term care will need an average of $138,000 worth of long-term care services. The least expensive state for nursing care in semi-private rooms currently is in Texas at $5,000 a month. And Missouri has the cheapest average for a private room of $6,481. On the other hand, Alaska's nursing home costs is almost $34,000 a month. And that's just brutal. You know what? The big thing here is this. This is something that's going to reach the fabric of the country. It's going to affect you. I know our demographics, 45 to 65, but it's going to affect everybody who's listening today. So this is the reason we brought Jeff Hodson here. He's a dedicated career professional helping seniors and families navigate hidden landmines of growing older, an elder law expert, founding attorney of Florida's largest elder law firm. He's a financial advisor, insurance agent. Jeff has literally written the book on long-term care. In fact, at the end, you're going to have the ability to get his latest book, The Heirloom Journey, Florida's Guide to Protecting Everything from Long-Term Care. It'll be available on Amazon, the whole shot. So we'll talk about that a little bit later. Hey, Jeff, welcome to the show. Appreciate you being here.
Thanks, Steve.
Jeff, I got to ask this question right up front. Everybody does something different in life. What gave you the calling to become an attorney, financial advisor, insurance agent, to help people with long-term care, estate planning, the whole shot?
So I've lived a lot of the experiences that my clients go through in my own family. So my grandparents on both sides of my parents, both my mother and father's parents, both struggled through significant challenges that people face as they age. Long-term care, whether it was skilled nursing care, nursing home care, which is the real expensive stuff you're talking about, memory care, assisted living, financial devastations on that side, as well as exploitation by neighbors, financial exploitation to the tune of tens of thousands of dollars, and even some lawsuits and an accidental disinheritance. So, and this is just my grandparents. They've made just about every mistake that a senior can make as they age. And, I sat at the living room and the dining room tables with my family, having very serious conversations about what the future looked like. And, unfortunately, we didn't have a lot of the guidance that now I provide to people. And so, we were doing our best, but we were struggling to figure it out. And, unfortunately, a lot of those mistakes really cost them dearly. So made it my mission to make sure that other people don't have to go through that.
I totally get it. You know what? For a guy who survived cancer 18 years ago, And seeing people going through what they go through with that, I think it's a big thing and it's a noble cause. So thanks for doing it for people. So let's start talking a little bit about the problem first. You know what? You know what? I'll just kind of set this because we have so many people who have typed in and said, "Here's my question." You know what? One person basically said, "Steve, my parents were fine. Everything was going well. We were talking to them the whole shot. And then, you know what? It took us a little while, like 6, 7, 8 months, 10 months, where we then started realizing they weren't remembering everything. They're forgetting to do stuff. They're forgetting where things are supposed to be. They're forgetting to pay certain bills and stuff like that." And we thought, like, geez, it's a, you know, we're late to the game. So help people understand what, you know, people experience when they're getting a little older, how to look at those things, when to have that conversation with mom and dad and grandpa, because you obviously had to do it when things were going bad. Hey, when can we hit, you know, what's the signs that you need to start having those conversations?
I mean, truly, once you get to your retirement age, it's worth it to start having the conversations because none of us have a crystal ball. I have had people in my office that have Alzheimer's and they're in their late 60s. You're not guaranteed to make it to 70s, 80s, 90s, before something happens. I always joke that everyone assumes that they're going to die at 120, so they have until they're 119 to start planning, But then, something comes along at 72 unexpectedly. And, very frequently they haven't planned for it. So, when you get to that point where you're starting to plan for retirement, it's also the time to start planning for the potential need for long-term care, which, as you've talked about, is significant as far as the likelihood of need.
So basically what you're saying is when you're in the process of retiring, whether that's 55, 65, or 75, you should have a long-term care plan, an estate plan in place, with the right people, places, and so on. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. It does. Now, I would also suggest, hey, if you decide to work until you're 75, fantastic. But you do probably need these things before then. Retirement isn't necessarily like as long as you're working, you don't worry about it. I think it's more of a, I think, most people retire somewhere in their 60s. And, that's always a good time to start planning for this stuff. Statistically, that's enough time. But, obviously every individual is unique and everyone's circumstances are different. So, it's like most things, the old adage, the best time to plant a tree was 20 years ago, but the next best time is today. And so, you do what you can with what you have.
Okay, perfect. And let's kind of start with, hey, we know we need to start planning early. I'd like to just have you start walking through what does that look like for somebody? What should be, you know what? People have no clue what that planning means. And like one of the, I probably got 100 of these emails that just said, "Steve, how do we plan for this? What should this look like? How do we get started? We know we got a money manager, we got a tax person, we got a will, but that doesn't mean we're planning for our long-term care. How do we do that?"
So there's a few different ways that people can pay for long-term care in America. The first one that most people think is going to work actually doesn't, which is Medicare. Medicare does not pay for long-term care, and that is a surprise to most people. They say, oh, well, my grandma, she was in the hospital and then she went out to the rehab facility and they paid for it there. And that's because Medicare pays for rehab. It doesn't pay for long-term care. And those are distinctly different services. Rehab assumes you're getting better. Long-term care accepts that you're not. So as long as you're getting better, Medicare pays for the first 20 days from day 21 up to 100. There's a copay of, these days, it's about $200 a day. So it's still, $6,000 a month, give or take, for rehab care. But so now that we know that that's what doesn't pay for it, the way that people plan for it is there's really three things you can do. You can have private money that you've saved. You just spent your t life saving up money and you've saved it up. And then, when the time comes, you spend it at here in Central Florida, it's about $13,000 a month for a nursing home. And either you run out of money or you pass away before you do. But, those are kind of the option there. You plan through various types of long-term care policies. Traditional long-term care insurance is kind of going the way of the dinosaur. There are kind of new, more modern versions of those sorts of planning techniques now that we see from insurance companies. And then the final way that a lot of people pay for their long-term care is government benefits. So things like VA or Medicaid, not Medicare, but Medicaid, will pay for long-term care for people. And if you're planning in advance, you know, oftentimes a combination of these strategies is what we recommend to people. You know, using some form of long-term care insurance policy to really ensure that you can stay home as long as possible. Because let's be honest, nobody wants to go to a facility if they don't have to. You know, I think most people would want to age in their own home if they had a choice. Eventually, you may get to a point where that's not an option, where the medical or care needs are too great to be provided at home, and you need round-the-clock care that, you know, maybe even a long-term care insurance policy isn't able to fund. In those situations, you know, the nursing facilities, skilled nursing facilities, those would be a better solution. As we've talked about, they're very expensive. And so that's where, you know, planning appropriately through estate planning techniques can ensure that, you know, benefits like Medicaid or veterans benefits can be available to pay for that care.
Okay. Hey, folks, this was a great time to take a break. Stick with us. We'll be right back with more Jeff Hodson.
More expert advice for having a happier relationship with money still to come on the Saving with Steve show.
Don't let your financial woes keep you up at night and prevent you from living a life of financial and personal freedom. Hi, I'm Steve Sexton, host of the Saving with Steve show. We're going to be talking about the ins and outs of money, those financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars, causing stress, keeping you up at night. We're going to talk about money, tax reductions, saving more, spending less, your investments, risk management, retirement, and everything associated with you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. So if you've ever dreamed of living a life of financial and personal freedom, you owe it to yourself and your family to tune into the Saving with Steve show. Join me, Steve Sexton, on the Saving with Steve show as we talk about everything under the sun when it comes to money. To learn more about the show, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us, savingwithsteve.us. We'll see you soon.
Welcome back to the show that is here to help you achieve your financial goals. It's the Saving with Steve show. Now here's your host, Steve Sexton.
Hey, welcome back to the Saving with Steve show, where we're talking about the ins and outs of money. Truly want to thank you for sharing with your friends, family, and associates. All the replays are available on savingwithsteve.us. If you're enjoying the stories of helpful insight on Saving with Steve, you know what? You can always check out our YouTube channel. And you know what? You can never miss a show by checking out a few of our affiliates at UK Health Radio, BBS Radio, Talk Radio New York City, E360 TV, Las Vegas TV Networks. All these networks are dedicated to empowering you to solve problems, uplift your spirit, and live a life of personal and financial freedom. Hey, you can follow us on Facebook at Saving with Steve Sexton on the Insiders Club, get guest gifts and all that kind of stuff, see where everybody messes up, which is fun too. But you know what? I want to get back here and start talking about with Jeff the different types of care. He talked about full long-term care, assisted living, home care. What do those entail? Could you just briefly go through those? And then let's talk about the different options people have so they can understand that a little bit as well for covering that long-term care.
Of course, yeah. So, you know, probably I'd say at the lowest level of care that most people might need is going to be in-home care. You know, this can be anything from, I'll say medical care, you know, people coming in with more, you know, CNAs or that sort of stuff coming in to provide some basic medical needs. You know, it could also be personal needs, activities of daily living, things like helping them shower or, you know, get dressed in the morning, on and off of a toilet, things like that. Even to basic housekeeping and, you know, tidying up, you know, cutting the lawn, that sort of stuff. That's, I'd say, where most people probably start. Once you get to a point where maybe you need some more I'll use the word supervision, making sure that if you have a fall or something like that, that someone's there to help you. We tend to look at assisted living facilities. You know, assisted living facilities are some of the assisted living facilities I've been in are nicer than the Ritz. You know, I walk in here, I'm like, how do I get a room here? Turns out they're more expensive than the Ritz, but they're quite nice. There are some, you know, and there's places out there that have, you know, movie theaters in them and They take you on field trips to wineries and breweries and things like that. You know, it's a fun time. They have all kinds of dances and almost like senior prom type things. You know, I mean, it's they're very fun. You know, a lot of people there still need some help, a little bit, but not, you know, it's not full round the clock or anything. Then, you know, if you have cognitive decline, a lot of memory care facilities are tied to assisted living facilities. And those tend to be more locked down, prevent people from getting out. You know, that's where it's less about making it fun as it is keeping people safe. You know, elopement in the, you know, getting out and walking away is a very real risk, you know, as people suffer from cognitive decline. And, you know, one of the unfortunate challenges with cognitive decline is that a lot of people, their sleep schedule gets very impacted and they don't sleep very well. And so then they're up at all hours of the night, and then sometimes they're exit seeking in the middle of the night, which is obviously very dangerous. There's actually a local facility here not too long ago that had somebody get out, and she was found like 5 miles away at 2 a.m. on one of the busiest roads in Central Florida. Fortunately, she was safe, but it easily could not have been, you know, so. Those are the types of situations that generally these facilities are looking to prevent. Obviously, that was a big deal. But, you know, I mean, that those things do happen. Unfortunately, you know, loved ones who try to provide care in the home will sometimes end up experiencing that on their own. So, you know, that's something that I'll say is kind of between the assisted living and then the full nursing care, like you were saying. And then, you know, I think the highest level of care tends to be that nursing, that what people think of as nursing homes. You know, the industry would call it nursing facilities because they are skilled nursing facilities. They do have skilled nursing, you know, there. That is what it's provided. It's more of a medical. I say it's like step down from a hospital. That's where generally you're going to have, you know, your room with a sheet down the middle and someone on the other side of that sheet. Whereas an example in an assisted living facility, you're going to have your own apartment. So, you know, in the skilled nursing setting, it's that is not places that people go because they want to be there. It's where they go because they have to be there. The level of care is so great that they can't really be anywhere else.
In other words, they've gotten to a point where the family members can't care for them at home anymore.
Yeah. And I mean, it doesn't necessarily have to be, you know, that they need skilled care in order to be at that point, because I could tell you absolutely, we definitely run into people who've been taking care of loved ones with cognitive decline that, you know, haven't slept more than 3 hours in 4 months. You know, I mean, in my mind, that's well beyond your ability to function and manage well. You know, I mean, that's borderline dangerous for everybody. So, you know, it doesn't necessarily have to be skilled care to say, oh, I can't do it anymore. They've got to go to skilled. Memory care may be an option too in those circumstances.
I see. Okay. So now that we've gone through that, let's talk about the different ways people can cover it.
Sure. So I mentioned in the previous segment about the different insurance policies that exist. You know, the traditional old school long-term care insurance policies, as I'm sure you're familiar, you know, you pay in monthly. It's almost like car insurance, right? You pay monthly. If you don't get in a wreck, you don't use it. Wonderful. If you do get in the wreck, then you use it. The problem with the long-term care insurance policies is they're pretty expensive. And so it's a lot of money to be spending on something. Well, you don't know if you're going to use it or not. So I think the insurance companies heard that feedback a lot. They said, okay, well, let's try to come up with something else for you. And so they kind of came up with two different sorts of solutions for this. The first is just like a traditional life insurance policy. And they let you accelerate some of the death benefit and use that while you're still alive if you need long-term care. The industry calls that living benefits. And basically what it is let's say you have a life insurance policy that has $1 million death benefit on it and you need long-term care, they'll let you use $200,000 or $300,000 of it before you pass away. So when you do pass away, then, you know, the remaining $700,000 or $800,000 goes to your loved ones, but, you know, they have given you a portion of that early to use for your long-term care. You know, that's kind of a traditional life insurance. You pay the premiums every month as you go along. For some people that kind of want to limit some of that out-of-pocket expense, there are more that we call them long-term care annuities. Basically, they're, you know, a single premium sort of annuity product. You know, you put I'll use an example. We had a woman who did one of these recently. She put $100,000 into a policy, and if she needs long-term care, they're going to give her $250,000. So they're giving her 2.5 times multiplier on that money if she needs long-term care. Now people say, well, what if she doesn't need long-term care? Well, you know, then the principal that she puts in has a modest amount of growth. It's not an investment vehicle by any stretch. It grows a little bit, but that goes back to her family if she passes away without needing the long-term care. Similar to how the life insurance policy would pay to the loved ones if you didn't, in the full amount, if you didn't use the long-term care.
Yeah.
So, you know, both of those policies tend to, or those types of policies, I should say, do a better job of providing for people if they need the long-term care, but it's not a use it or lose it sort of situation, because there is a death benefit. There is something else there that you can access and use either during your life or leave to your loved ones after you pass away.
And then traditional long-term care, many people that have emailed us have indicated that they have it, but the premiums keep going up.
Yeah.
And they go up pretty heavy.
Yeah, that's one of the things that's really challenging is, you know, the policies, a lot of them say, oh, we can't raise your rates. You individually can't raise your rates. But what they all allow is a raising of the class's rates. So if you're in a class of, you know, a banded group of people that meet, you know, X certain criteria, well, all of you can have your rates increase. Which means you ultimately personally have your rate increase. It's just not based on you. It's based on the class. Mm-hmm. And so we definitely see that where the policies that people have been paying for in some case, decades, are now becoming prohibitively expensive on a fixed income.
Mm-hmm. We've heard, well, a couple of people said they've acquired policies, and I won't go into the names of the companies, but they have had settled like class action lawsuits where now they're in the position where they're just getting the money they paid in back, or they have to significantly reduce the benefits that they had in the policy.
Yeah.
And we're seeing that. Do you have any experience with that?
It definitely happens. You know, unfortunately, the insurance companies, well, I won't even say the insurance companies, I don't think anybody expected the cost of care to just increase at the astronomical rate that it has.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so in a lot of cases, I don't feel like these insurance companies were doing things out of like spider malice or bad will. There's just no way to keep solvent. You know, when you expected that $150 a day was going to be enough to pay for long-term care, you know, and it's easy to find places that are over $500 a day.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I mean, the math doesn't math. And especially if, you know, they plan for some of these things. Yeah. Unfortunately, they've had to make changes that have resulted in lawsuits because they violated stuff that they had, you know, guaranteed to their policyholders.
Great. Hey, folks, we're having a great conversation with Jeff Houghton about long-term care, estate planning. And, you know, we talked about what's going on. We've talked about the different types of services, the different types of policies. But now we're going to talk about the actual planning. Jeff's going to give you a couple examples, the whole side, so you can understand how this works and what you might be looking at and things that you might can be considering when you're looking at long-term care and estate planning. So let's just talk about the foundation for planning first, how you look at it there, Jeff.
Yeah, Steve. So, you know, realistically, when we're looking at people planning for long-term care and ultimately, I'll say retirement in general, we like to kind of separate their money into three buckets, kind of have three ways of paying for things.
Okay.
So the first is I call it the play bucket. You know, that's you take a cruise around the world, you buy your second house or whatever, you know, I mean, it's kind of the use it, have fun with it. Don't ask anybody for permission. It's, you know, go crazy. Then the second bucket is really the kind of what we call the growth. Now, those tend to be the more, I'll say, newer version of the long-term care insurance policies like we were just discussing, whether they're long-term care annuities, whether they're life insurance policies with living benefits and long-term care riders, those sorts of things, so that you do have a pot of money that can be used for long-term care if you need it. And that's really, in my opinion, to be used to stay at home or maybe in an assisted living facility.
Mm-hmm.
Then everything else, we want to use an estate planning tool. We've created a type of trust called the Family Fortress, and it's designed to protect your assets from not just long-term care, really for anything that could financially devastate you. You know, all the stuff that happened to my grandparents, if they had had one of these, none of it ever would have happened. And they, you know, they wouldn't have lost everything. So, you know, this Family Fortress, I think, is in the third, and that's what I call like the vault. You know, that we put the stuff in there that we want to protect from everything at all costs. You know, like I sometimes say, you know, the play bucket's like your checking account, the vault, the family fortress, that's your savings account. You know, and so, you know, with those three buckets, that's where we try to focus on, how do I say, spreading out people's assets in a way that ensure that they can live their life without worry, without worried about, you know, oh, how do I pay for, you know, this trip that I want to come up on? Well, I have the money available. I don't have to go, you know, pulling it out of the vault, so to speak, because that takes some effort. Mm-hmm. And then if, you know, if I need long-term care, well, I want to stay home. I want to be in assisted living. Cool. There's a bucket for that. Everything else, if I need skilled care, well, I don't want to spend on everything I have for it. And so that's where the vault comes in to protect those things to then allow people to become eligible for government benefits like Medicaid or veterans benefits.
Okay. So basically what you're doing is you're saying, hey, we've got this money we've got designed for a purpose, trips, mm-hmm. family, daily living, we got long-term care. It's all right there. But then we've got this money that's in the vault that isn't subject to the issues you typically have with traditional Medicaid, where traditional Medicaid and stuff like that, where, you know, you typically have to liquidate all your own assets first before you get it. So that's you're right. Setting it up so they can be in a position where they're protecting those assets. And then are those assets available to go off to the next generation?
Absolutely. Okay. So with the way that we've set up the fortress or the family fortress, there's no Medicaid payback provisions. The money that's there is really protected for the next generation, for surviving spouses, any of that sort of stuff. So it's really cool because, you know, it allows you to take take advantage of the benefit that we've all paid into our entire lives, right? We've all paid into Social Security, we've paid into Medicare, and we've paid into Medicaid. Mm-hmm. You know, if you've earned a paycheck, you paid in. And nobody seems to have any qualms about taking Medicare or Social Security. You know, and they say, well, I paid in. It's like, you did. But you also paid into Medicaid too. They're like, well, Medicaid's for poor people. It's like, well, kind of. There are financial eligibility criteria that you have to meet in order to get the benefit. But in states like Florida, there's a lot of ways that our laws are structured to permit people to become eligible, even kind of in a crisis. Now, every state has some crisis strategies. They're different from state to state, definitely. Florida's is one of the best. But this type of planning I'm talking about with the fortress, all 50 states, mm-hmm. if you do this stuff in advance, it's golden, works everywhere.
That's wonderful. Because then, you know, one of the biggest concerns is people wanting to move assets off to the ones they love. And sometimes that doesn't become possible with disabilities and the need to cover those disabilities for long-term care or assisted living. So typically we use a policy. If somebody doesn't use a policy, the fortress will still help them protect those assets.
That's right. So we do have some people who aren't eligible for mm-hmm. policies, you know, because there tend to be, when you're looking at long-term care insurance or life insurance, there's health screenings. And there are people who either A, won't qualify, just period, or because of their health history, it's prohibitively expensive. Mm-hmm. And those people, we can still use the fortress as a planning tool, just understanding that you may need to use Medicaid for in-home care or to contribute towards an assisted living facility. If you want to do that first, Medicaid is still an option there. You don't have the same, how do I phrase it? You don't have the same options when you're relying on Medicaid to provide that stuff. But when you get to the nursing home side of things, they all take Medicaid. You know, mm-hmm. Occasionally financial advisors will tell you, oh, you don't want to go to a Medicaid nursing home. Spoiler alert, they're all Medicaid nursing homes.
Yeah. You know what? That's one of the things that myth. Mm-hmm. It's got to be a Medicaid nursing home. Is there a certain number of beds in every single location that's Medicaid?
Yes-ish. They have the number of long-term beds available in their facility. Federally, they're prohibited from changing, as an example, from if someone's on private pay and they run out of money and they go on Medicaid, they can't kick them out. They can't say, oh, well, we don't have a Medicaid bed available. You got to leave. So they're, you know, federally prohibited from discriminating based on payer source. So, you know, but could they say, oh, we don't have any beds available for Medicaid coming in? Yeah, possibly. Mm-hmm. But knowing that, we have had clients go in private pay, and then the next month they switch to Medicaid, and there's nothing anybody can do about it.
Uh-huh. I was just going to say, because there's a few people that emailed us saying, hey, you know what? Folks were in the facility and they ran out of money and they said they didn't have any Medicaid beds, so we had to move them somewhere else. And so you're telling me that on a federal level, that's not acceptable.
That's right. And, just because it's not allowed doesn't mean it doesn't happen.
No, I understand that. I just want to, that's why I just want to make sure that's a thing everybody knows.
And, we see it now where facilities will say, oh, we don't have any Medicaid beds. Let me help you find another place. If you agree and go find another place, well, that's a decision or choice that you've made then, even though you kind of felt pressured, but they cannot just kick you out on the street and say, oh, well, too bad, cutting off services. At least here in Florida, it takes almost an act of God to get somebody out of a nursing home. They have to, deal with the ombudsman and everything. It's a big deal to get somebody out of a nursing home if the nursing home wants to discharge them, and it triggers an audit and all these things. It's a very involved process. So, the threats of, oh, you have to leave, well, you don't. They'll tell you you do, but they're not going to jump through the hoops to kick you out because they can't.
Oh, okay. That's really, really, really good to know. Okay, so we talked about leaving assets behind. So when you're, could you help us, and I want to move into this a little bit more into the next segment as well, is talk about the vault, the trust that you have there. Let's talk about that a little bit and how that works and how that's structured and stuff like that. Because you know what? I haven't heard before, and I know a lot of our listeners haven't heard it before.
Sure. So the Family Fortress Trust is a trust that's really designed to protect seniors as they age. Whether it's exploitation, whether it's long-term care expenses, medical, potential accidental disinheritances, if you were to, say, get remarried late in life, like my great-grandfather did. And he left everything to his new young wife, and my grandfather got nothing. Actually, that's not true. She gave him a dollar, which feels almost like mean. But whatever, the bottom line is really anything that could financially devastate seniors, this trust is designed to protect against. And the way that it does that is a really unique way. It works the way most trusts do. So I don't know how much your familiars know about trust, but essentially it's like a containing device. I like to say a trust is like a suitcase, right? If you get a suitcase, one of the most important things you can do with it is pack it. You got to put your stuff into it, or think of it almost like a safety deposit box. You put stuff into the safety deposit box, and that's what it protects. That's the way the fortress works. And really, that's the way all trusts work, is they have to own or contain the things that you have. This does that. Very similar to the example with a safety deposit box. You have a key, the faceless bank employee has a key that you both have to go in and open it together and get your stuff out. In this case, the person holding the key, instead of a faceless bank employee, is somebody you trust, somebody other than your spouse. It could be an adult child, a sibling, close friend, you name it. There's really no limitations as long as it's not you and it's not your spouse. And if you have those limitations in place, you can get access to what's in there through that person. I normally diagram it out, and I feel like without diagramming, it's a little challenging, but the way it works, but it's a pretty simple process. But that person has to take the money out and then give it to you in order for this to work. And so people say, well, what if that person doesn't do it? And I say, okay, well, first thing, first, you're going to name somebody you do trust. But one of the neat things that we do with the Family Fortress is we give you the ability to replace that person. So if they're not doing what you want, replace them with somebody who will. So you control the person who's controlling the trust, if you will. And so that's a way of, I always say, think of it like a savings account. We have clients who are like, well, what if I need the money? It's like, well, how often do you take money out of your savings account? Oh, twice a year. Right. That's how this operates. You put stuff in here that you don't need up regularly, but when you do need another tranche of money, that person can take it out and give it to you, and there's no penalties or issues with that.
Okay, perfect. Hey, folks, stick with us. We'll be right back with more Jeff Hosen.
More expert advice for having a happier relationship with money still to come on the Saving with Steve Show.
Don't let your financial woes keep you up at night and prevent you from living a life of financial and personal freedom. Hi, I'm Steve Sexton, host of the Saving with Steve Show. We're going to be talking about the ins and outs of money, those financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars, causing stress, keeping you up at night. We're going to talk about money, tax reductions, saving more, spending less, your investments, risk management, retirement, and everything associated with you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. So if you've ever dreamed of living a life of financial and personal freedom, you owe it to yourself and your family to tune into the Saving with Steve Show. Join me, Steve Sexton, on the Saving with Steve Show as we talk about everything under the sun when it comes to money. To learn more about the show, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us. Savingwithsteve.us. We'll see you soon.
Welcome back to the show that is here to help you achieve your financial goals. It's the Saving with Steve Show. Now here's your host, Steve Sexton.
Hey, welcome back to the Saving with Steve Show, where we talk about the ins and outs of money, pretty much everything in the sun relates to you having a happier, healthier relationship with money. Again, I want to thank you for sharing us with your friends and families. All the replays are available on savingwithsteve.us. If you're enjoying the stories of helpful information and insight on Saving with Steve, I encourage you to subscribe to our YouTube channel. Check out a few of our affiliates at UK Health Radio, BBS Radio, Talk Radio in New York City, E360 TV, Las Vegas TV networks. All these networks are dedicated to empowering you to solve problems, uplift your spirit, and live a life of personal and financial freedom. Now, you can obviously follow us on Facebook, check us out on YouTube, the whole shot. But I want to get back to talking about Jeff Hodson. And one of the questions that I posed during the break to Jeff was, what's the biggest thing? I mean, you've been doing this for a very, very, very long time. What's the biggest thing that you want to impart to our listeners to make sure they really get and understand, because it'll make a difference in their life? Yeah. Especially when it comes to this long-term care or actual estate planning.
Yeah. So I think the single biggest misconception that people have about what we do is that they think they have to pay out of pocket. They have to lose everything for long-term care. Mm-hmm. I can't tell you how many times we've had people come into our office having spent $400,000 of mom's money looking for help with Medicaid now. And I'm like, I could have helped you $400,000 ago. Because we're here in Florida, and you know, like I say, there's lots of ways that we can protect people's assets and get them Medicaid still. But even if you're not in Florida, I just want people to know that there's options. That if you need long-term care, it doesn't mean your parents have to lose, you know, or you or your parents have to lose everything. Oftentimes we're talking to the adult children of people who are in those facilities. But you know, with proper planning, and even sometimes through proper crisis planning, which is like in the moment, like if you have a loved one who's been in a nursing home for 6 months, that doesn't mean it's too late to do anything. And that's the thing I just want you to know, is you don't have to go broke. You know, that is a choice. That is not a requirement.
So here's a big thing. What can you do if you're in the middle of crisis, you had to put mom or dad into a facility, they're 3 months in, 6 months in, whatever the case is, what kind of planning can you do?
Great question. At that point, you got to go talk to an elder law attorney. Mm-hmm. I can't tell you every state, but I'll tell you, at least in Florida, we're the only people that can help you at that point. Here in Florida, it's considered the practice of law. You're not allowed to do it if you're not an attorney. Mm-hmm. And you know, there's it's just too complicated. You know, I will tell you, I routinely hear lawyers tell clients, oh, there's nothing you can do at that point. Obviously, they're not elder law attorneys, but you know, they don't know. There's just so much unknown and just misconception about this industry and this area. And so the first call you need to make, if you are hearing this and you have a loved one in a nursing facility or you know receiving any form of long-term care, you're paying privately, call an elder law attorney, because there probably are options. Mm-hmm. Now, I mean, depending on what state you're in, the nature of the assets, all that, that there may not be for you, but in most cases there are. And you know, I will also say that in some cases the options may not be great, mm-hmm. but in most cases it's better than losing everything.
Well, you know what? I like to couch that by saying it's important to understand you have people who do wills and trusts, and yeah, they're considered estate planning attorneys. They are an estate planning attorney. They do wills and trusts. They're not an elder law attorney. So understand the difference between them. Because it's like asking a CPA about investment, which he can't give advice on. And, you know, I don't know anything about it. I don't know if it's good or bad. You know, it's like asking the wrong person. So, again, the elder law attorney makes all the difference in the world. Secondly, one of the things that one of our people who have reached out to us and just said, you know what, they had somebody that was in a facility. And basically, by going to an elder law attorney, they were able to do some things that actually saved about $150,000 of their asset, of their parents' assets. Okay. Now, this was significant because that $150,000 was able to help mom out until she passed.
That's right.
So, you know, it just wasn't all wiped out because of that. So that's really, really, really very important. And I really appreciate you sharing that and making sure people go to an elder law attorney. Now, the next thing I'd like to talk about is your book, The Heirloom Journey. So I know you probably got a copy somewhere.
You know, it's crazy. It just showed up right next. No, yeah, of course.
It's like, come on now. So talk to us a little bit about the book, where people can get it, the whole shot, and we'll run from there.
Sure. So The Heirloom Journey is on Amazon. I think it's $15.99. I don't know, something like that. But basically, it's kind of the secret sauce to what I do with most of our clients. So it talks about a lot of the different options. It's kind of pulling back the curtain, so to speak. I've come to realize that there is far more help that people need than I'm ever going to be able to give. And so I see this book as a way of at least getting people understanding about this stuff. The book is actually separated into two sections. So there's the heirloom roadmap, which is a lot of the stuff we've been talking about today, the pre-planning side of things. Here's the roadmap to making sure, you know, the three buckets, all that sort of stuff is the roadmap, which is kind of designed to figure out what's the plan. And then there's also heirloom lifeline, which is then when you're in a crisis and you need help immediately and you haven't been able to do any of that pre-planning, what are all the crisis strategies that we can use to be able to protect what people have and still get them the care that they need? Mm-hmm. And so the book is not designed to be just read front to back. It's like, hey, depending on where you are, you're going to need to jump to a different part of this book because that's what's going to give you really meaningful information for you at this stage. There is a little, I'll say a third section up front that just talks and goes into much greater detail about all the different places and ways that you can get care. You know, we talked about assisted memory, you know, in-home, skilled. There's stuff beyond that where you have like adult daycare and private duty. And just there's a myriad of other types of care settings as well that just kind of helps people understand the differences because that's very uncommon as well. People say, oh, mom's in a nursing home. I'm like, oh, that's terrible. And they're like, yeah, she has her apartment. You know, she cooks every day. I'm like, okay, well, she's definitely not in a nursing home then. it kind of just provides a good groundwork for people to understand as they're getting to this. Because frankly, unless you go through it with your parents, most people never run into any of this stuff. It's new for everybody. You know, when you deal with it, it's probably the first and oftentimes the last time you'll ever deal with it.
Now, it's important to understand those things because my feeling is that when it happens to you and it's your parents and they're in the middle of it, you're like this big deer in the headlights and you're just running towards the car and you're going to hit it. But if you have some guidance, you can avoid that car and you know what, keep yourself intact and keep your family intact. And a lot of times that's your assets. Yeah. So Jeff, one of the things I'd like to know is how people can get a hold of you if they need your help. If there's, you know, talk about your website. You have resources that people can check out and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. So our website is fff.law, L-A-W. FFF is short for Family First Firm. There we go. And fff.law gets you to our website. There's a bunch of information on there, you know, various tools you can use and resources for you. You know, they can call us at 1-833-FL-SENIOR for, you know, because we do elder law. So focused on seniors, protecting them. And we're always welcome to take calls and, you know, schedule meetings with potential clients. And, you know, we have lots of discussions with people that oftentimes are just pointing them in the right direction. You know, there are plenty of people who reach out that may not be the ideal clients for us, but we're trying to get them pointed in the right direction so they can get the resources they need.
Okay, so here's the next question. We just got it in. Somebody's watching us on Facebook. And the question is I live in Florida and I live in Georgia. Where should I do the planning?
Oh, well, I mean, The laws are a million times better in Florida than they are in Georgia.
Okay. No, I'm just, they're asking.
Yeah, no, I know. I'm saying, like, I'm only laughing because I know the difference, and I know that no other people would have a reason to know that, but it is so drastic. Just, you know, I mean, if you're in Jacksonville, you drive, you know, 30 minutes north and you go to Valdosta or whatever. I mean, it is the difference in what the way those laws will affect you, both with Medicaid, with estate planning, all that stuff is significant. I actually went to law school in Georgia, and so I'm pretty familiar with kind of the way stuff works up there before I, you know, came back down here to Florida. But yeah, I'd say absolutely Florida is going to be the place.
Mm-hmm. Okay, perfect. Hey, Jeff, I want to thank you so much for being here today. You've imparted some information and knowledge that I know people didn't know because they're all asking about it. Cool thing about it is I had a list of about 100 questions here, and you got through about 90 of them, so we're good.
Cool.
The other ones we don't want to ask.
All right, perfect.
But again, I want to thank you for joining us. We'll make sure your information goes on our website. And folks, if you really want to listen to this a couple times, because especially if you're in that 55, 60 planning stage for retirement, it'd be great to listen to this. Reach out to Jeff's team so you can make sure you're covered, whether it be your estate plan, your long-term care plan, the whole shot. So again, Jeff, thanks for being with us today. Maybe we'll have you back next time. So folks, you have the opportunity to continue down the road of this uncertainty. You have the opportunity to make simple, small, intelligent adjustments to give you peace of mind moving forward. So that's the news and the story I want to impart to you at this end. I thank you all. Join us for today. Look forward to speaking with you next week right here on Saving with Steve. Y'all have a great week. See you next time. Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining us for the Saving with Steve show, hosted by Steve Sexton. To learn more about the show and how to become a guest or sponsor, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us. Join us again next time as we continue to talk about everything under the sun that relates to you having a healthier, happier relationship with money. This has been the Saving with Steve show, hosted by Steve Sexton.